final hour of Bullseye on the afternoon on AM 930 WEOL and 100.3 FM. Andy Bulbarch with you until 6 o'clock tonight. A lot of basketball tonight. To talk Ohio State hoops at 6 with Chris Holtman, the Coach Chris Holtman Show. And then Cavaliers basketball comes your way beginning at 7 o'clock with the pregame show. The Cavs and the Celtics will tip just after 7:30 tonight. Let's head back to the hotline as we welcome in our Hollywood guru, Michael Warschauer. And, boy, a lot of interesting things to discuss with Michael today with the Golden Globe nominations. Another big weekend at the box office for Frozen 2, but that might change a little bit this weekend. Michael, as always, we appreciate the time, my friend. How are you today?
Doing well. Excited to dig into all this with you guys.
Well, let's start with the Golden Globes. I think that's certainly perhaps the biggest news in the entertainment industry. Any major surprises with regard to those nominations?
I think there were a lot of surprises. The Hollywood Foreign Press Association, who puts on the Golden Globes and votes for them, usually has a few curveballs up their sleeve, and they didn't disappoint as usual this year. I think there's a lot. Marriage Story led the way with 6 nominations, followed by The Irishman and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, which each had 5, and then Joker and The Two Popes had 4. So there was a lot going on, a lot of big films and things that we kind of expected, TV shows the same way. I think one of the big surprises the news broke this morning of the nominations, The Lion King was nominated for Best Animated Feature, despite the fact that Disney actually submitted it as a live feature as opposed to animated. So it was kind of a big shock that the Hollywood Foreign Press Association said, nope, this is not live action enough, and they put it in the animated category. Some other big interesting ones, The Morning Show getting nominated for Best TV Drama despite really middling reviews, I think surprised a lot of people, as did really the exclusion altogether of Game of Thrones, except for one nomination for Kit Harington for Best Actor, this coming after they won the Emmy for Best Drama, so a little bit of a surprise there, despite all of the fan backlash, still surprising for the Emmy winner not to even be nominated. I think really the biggest winner, though, of all of these nominations is Netflix. They came away with 17 nominations in both the film and TV categories for a total of 34. They were by far the big winner as far as the studios and distributors getting nominations. So possibly the start of, the continuation of the changing of the guard, where Netflix is really sort of taking over not just television awards, but starting to really make a deep impact into the film awards.
What about the snubs? Because everybody talks about the major snubs when it comes to nominations. I read something earlier today that I couldn't believe I was reading, mentioning that Adam Sandler may have been a major snub in regards to the Golden Globe nominations.
Yeah, he has definitely been someone who's getting a lot of buzz for his role in Uncut Gems, which comes out at Christmas. He was a pretty big snub. One of the other major ones was Robert De Niro, who didn't get an acting nomination for The Irishman, despite really being a marquee performer in that and certainly being a favorite for an Oscar. So that's possibly just a couple of curveballs with Uncut Gems kind of just not being out yet. And Robert De Niro has had some not-so-nice things to say about the Hollywood Foreign Press in the past, so that may be just kind of a personal thing. But the other two big snubs were, first of all, for the second year in a row, there were no women nominated in the Best Director category. This despite Little Women, A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, and Booksmart all having three very, very good candidates, respectively, for those. So a big surprise there. And the other one is that Ava DuVernay's Netflix series, When They See Us, was completely snubbed in the miniseries category after Jarrell Jerome won the Emmy for Outstanding Lead Actor in a Limited Series, and the series was nominated for 6 more Emmys. So really kind of a shock that it didn't even get a single nod, but those three, I think, are probably the biggest snub that we saw this year.
You mentioned Adam Sandler in Uncut Gems. Is this a Netflix deal, or is this the kind of thing we can see at theaters? What kind of movie is this?
Yeah, this will be in theaters. It comes from the Safdie brothers, who have been really kind of building up a lot of credibility in the past couple of years, especially with Good Time, with Robert Pattinson that came out. He plays basically a guy who is always making deals, always making bets, and all of these things, and he kind of gets himself in over his head. I know Kevin Garnett has a very prominent role as himself in the movie. This is one I'm very, very excited to see. And yeah, Adam Sandler has a ton of buzz as a potential nominee for playing this kind of dramatic but comedic role.
Going to be interesting. I never really thought I'd see the day that people would be angry that Adam Sandler was snubbed for a Golden Globe nomination. It's just interesting how that all worked out. Again, Michael Warschauer, our Hollywood guru, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. I'm anxious to get your thoughts on The Irishman, because I've heard a lot of people turn it on Netflix and say, you know what, I just don't know that I could sit down for the next 3.5 hours and watch this thing, although the reviews have been pretty strong for those who have been able to get all the way through it. What are you hearing about it?
It's certainly the same kind of things. I think there's a big discussion over the length, which I did see one commenter on Twitter say, you know, people are shying away from watching a 3.5 hour movie, but can pretty easily sit down and binge watch TV for 3.5 hours without blinking. So I think just that big block is kind of turning people off. But the film itself is exceptional. I mean, it really on its surface is sort of a mob movie similar to you know, every Scorsese movie. But below it, it's really about the sort of lifelong friendships that these guys have. And, they're gossiping, and it's about reputation. And there's a lot more pathos and empathy in this movie than you would expect. It's not necessarily as violent as a lot of his mob-based movies are. So I just think there's so much going on. There's so many really amazing performances. De Niro is great. Al Pacino is just legendary as Jimmy Hoffa. It's great to see Joe Pesci again. So I think it's certainly worth your time. I don't think there's, you know, obviously the way it's intended to be seen and the best way to see it is to watch it all the way through. But the beauty of having it on Netflix is that, you can break it up. There are points in the movie where you can kind of say, like, okay, I can take a break here, and you can come back to it very easily and sort of watch it in pieces. But I think it's certainly one of Scorsese's greatest late career films, and certainly very up there for him. And just really kind of cool that Netflix gave him all this freedom to kind of put this huge epic together and give people a chance to watch it however they please.
I did enjoy watching the first half hour. Unfortunately, it was on Thanksgiving night, so I was well on my way to entering a food coma, so that's why I fell asleep watching it. It was interesting, but my eyelids were awful heavy, so I was not able to stay awake and watch it, but I really can't wait to go back and revisit it. Well, speaking of Netflix, A Marriage Story is one that, as you mentioned earlier, getting some Golden Globe buzz. What's A Marriage Story all about?
This is a movie from Noah Baumbach, who is perhaps best known for The Squid and the Whale and his collaborations with Wes Anderson, but has been a very productive and successful director in his own right over the last several years. This is sort of based on his own divorce from actress Jennifer Jason Leigh, and it stars Adam Driver and Scarlett Johansson as the couple that are getting a divorce. It's a very good movie. I actually remarked after seeing it that it's a very good movie, but it's one that you don't ever really need to see twice, I don't think. It's very funny. There's a lot of points that find the absurdity in the whole divorce and the funny parts of the serious parts of life. But there's also, of course, a lot of it is heart-wrenching and very dramatic. I think there's certainly a lot of parallels you can make with Kramer versus Kramer, the classic film. So it's very good. I think that it's definitely going to be getting several Oscar nominations. I think probably Best Screenplay is a lock, and Adam Driver, Scarlett Johansson, and Laura Dern in a supporting role all seem pretty set for Oscar nominations, and they also got Golden Globes. So it's a good movie, and it's certainly really, like The Irishman, like, very cool that Netflix kind of gives you the opportunity to see this prestige awards drama that usually when these movies come out, you kind of hear about them playing in New York and Los Angeles for a long time, and then they finally come out in a wide release, and here everybody kind of got to see it at the same time. So I think that's really cool. And certainly, if you're looking for a movie of the award season to get into and without leaving the house, then it's certainly one you should check out.
A couple of trailers released over the weekend. And Wonder Woman 2, certainly getting a little bit of hype. Ghostbusters, The Afterlife, also getting a little bit of hype. Let's focus on Wonder Woman for just a moment. I think the fact that Chris Pine appeared on some of these previews got people a little bit excited. What kinds of hype is it getting in the early stages?
It's getting a lot of good buzz. The trailer looks really good, and granted, no one has really seen the film yet, even if it is completed. So we might kind of see some different reactions as we get closer to its actual release. But considering the success and popularity of the first one, there's a ton of hype, and I think the reception to this trailer was really, really positive online. And it looks good. We don't know much about the plot of the movie. The only bit that we have really is it takes place in 1984, so it's very, very 80s. And the small summary we've gotten is Diana Prince comes into conflict with the Soviet Union during the Cold War in the 1980s and finds a formidable foe by the name of Cheetah, who is played by Kristen Wiig. Pedro Pascal from The Mandalorian and Game of Thrones also joins the cast. And, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see Chris Pine back as his character, because his character seemingly died at the end of the first one. So that's interesting to see him back. I think this is going to be a major, major release when it comes out, and it's certainly off on the right foot with this first trailer.
Well, we'll transition now into some more box office banter to talk about some movies that have had some success in recent weeks. More likely Frozen. Frozen 2, rather, has had all kinds of success in recent weeks. A three-peat at the top of the box office. That could potentially change this weekend. There are some new titles coming out. And I think the one I think that's getting the most amount of hype will be the one surrounding the story on Richard Jewell in the 1996 bombings at the Olympics in Atlanta. You think there's any other titles that could certainly push Frozen off the top spot?
Well, I think Richard Jewell is certainly an interesting case. As we've seen with Clint Eastwood over the past couple of years, he has an audience for his films that will come out and support it. And we saw last year with The Mule that was a kind of a surprise box office leader. So I think that there is every chance that they kind of can pull an upset here, even though they don't necessarily share the same audience. Maybe you're starting to see the families that have already seen Frozen 2 start to taper off, and maybe the adults are now going to see Richard Jewell. The other one that I think has a very big shot at overtaking it this week is Jumanji, The Next Level. The first one, first remake a couple of years ago, was starring The Rock and Kevin Hart, was a surprise hit, and it really actually wasn't that bad for a reboot. So I think, you know, it'll be interesting to see if that franchise has any juice to it to kind of keep going. It certainly has the budget that can compete with Frozen 2, but I think whomever it is going to have it very short-lived, because the week after that sees the premiere of Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker. So it's going to be short-lived. Star Wars is going to be, as it has been, a major earner during the holidays. So we'll see. But I would put money on either Richard Jewell or Jumanji this weekend overtaking Frozen 2.
And you're right. It'll be short-lived. And it seems like as soon as Star Wars comes out, that's probably going to win the last few box office battles of the calendar. You're right. It would be kind of a surprise if it didn't.
Yeah, I think it really doesn't have a lot of competition unless you count Cats, but I don't think that it's going to do quite the same business as Star Wars. So that'll probably be, the box office leader headed into the beginning of 2020. And depending on how people feel about it, it could be kind of like the Avengers or Joker and really kind of carry a lot of the box office for several weeks as we move into award season, where a lot of smaller movies kind of compete without taking the top spot. So, yeah, I think Star Wars is going to be around the top for a long time.
See, you brought that Cat movie into the picture here, and it's so bizarre because it feels like there's some staying power for a movie like that because there's so much star power involved.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously the musical was very successful. I think that it has some very weird buzz surrounding it, since it's all CGI characters, and There's a lot of people who are, I think, have been a little creeped out by the way they look, the CGI cat. So I don't know. It seems, in a lot of ways, it seems kind of silly. But then again, the original musical itself is kind of silly at its heart. So we'll see. I think it was a pretty bold move by the studio to put it up against Star Wars as sort of a competitor of saying, like, you know, you can go see the big blockbuster, you can go see the big musical this holiday season. So I think it'll certainly have some legs to it, but I don't see it being bigger than the Star Wars franchise.
Yeah, it would be a gigantic shock if it did better than Star Wars at any point over the course of the next month or 6 weeks. No question about that. All right, Michael, before we let you go, my friend, we've got to ask for this week's Picks to Click. What should we be watching this week?
A lot of good stuff to stream this weekend. First of all, if you want to watch a good action movie, Michael Bay made his first movie for Netflix starring Ryan Reynolds called Six Underground. That comes out on Friday. As does Mel Brooks Unwrapped on HBO, a documentary about the beloved comedian, writer, and director. That's one I am very excited to see about his life and career. And lastly, premiering on Amazon is The Expanse. Season 4 of the sci-fi show has moved over to the streaming network, who saved it after cancellation and dumped a whole bunch of money and promised to even continue on to a season 5. So if you're a sci-fi fan, that will be one to check out.
And if you're a fan of comedy, you can't miss that Mel Brooks special. I mean, boy.
Absolutely.
God, he's done so many great movies over the years, from Blazing Saddles to Spaceballs to Robin Hood, Men in Tights. That's one of my personal favorites. I laugh every time I watch that movie, and I've seen it 100 million times, but that sounds like it'll be an absolute blast to watch for sure. Michael, as always, my friend, we appreciate the time. Thank you so much for stopping by, and we look forward to speaking with you again next week.
Sounds great. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Michael. Again, that's Michael Warschauer, our Hollywood insider, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Let's step aside and take a break. Coming up next, we've got the University Hospital's You and Your Health segment, and then we will return for the final half hour of today's show. It's Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL and 100.3 FM.